I'm Christina.
And this is Erin.
And you're listening to
Something to Wag About.
I like your tip for today. I enjoy your Sunday tips.
Thank you.
Christina, yeah. What's next?
I was looking around the room to figure out what kind of tip you're talking about because I have them scheduled.
Yeah, you don't.
So today's tip was Advance and Retreat as a pattern game for people that are struggling to walk their dogs in their neighborhood. And I do this with a lot of my dogs. Like, I have one client, oh, he's so sweet. He's a 5-month-old field golden, and he had a dog come out of a yard and attack him quite badly, and, you know, cut him up a bit. And now he is exhibiting behaviors on walks that he wasn't exhibiting before. So it takes a while to see fallout sometimes from trauma with dogs. And with this little guy, they thought he looked okay, and he seems okay with dogs, but he's exhibiting some other fear responses and over-arousal responses. And that's one thing that I have having them do is start from the front step. Can he relax there? Walk 10 feet out, come back. Can he relax again? Walk 20 feet out, come back. So we're creating a safety zone near the house where he's okay. And if at any point he gets overwhelmed or worried, we can just retreat back to a spot where he's comfortable relaxing, because there isn't any specific trigger that we can see, that we can perceive, that's causing his anxiety right now on his walks. So this is going to help build a really strong foundation of feeling safe and secure the closer, you know, at home, and then building that space out as he progresses. So that's where that tip kind of came from. And that's a strategy I use with a lot of dogs that are struggling if their neighborhood's too scary or too exciting or too busy, or even for just leash manners. So I'm glad you like my tip.
It's interesting because I never thought to do this from the house, and I don't know why. I do this a lot for particularly young dogs that just have troubles walking. Put them in the car, go to a park, and then the car's the safety zone, right? Pending they like the car. Most of the puppies I've worked with were always okay in the car. So it's like, okay, put them in the car. Because it was always just the threshold of leaving the house. So I never actually thought of like doing it from the front step. And it's a very cool book. I read that and I was like, oh, hey, that's a good idea.
I also like your tip for today on arousal and drive, because, I mean, you focus more on sport dogs and I focus more on reactivity and aggression, sometimes sport dogs, but often pet dogs. Do you want to talk about yours?
Yes. So the arousal versus drive. Yeah, I brought that one up because it's something I see all the time. Like, people come to me and they say they have this high drive dog and they don't know what to do about it because they can't. They can't get anywhere in their sport because their dog is just always barking or can't focus. Like they're running in circles and all this excitable behavior. And that's not drive. You know, drive, a key part of drive is that your dog is actually very focused on what they're doing. Like if they're focused on the task, whatever it may be, maybe they're intently focused on herding sheep or herding that ball that's on the ground or chasing a ball or whatever it is, but they're very intently focused on it, and they're not putting in all this other random movement or barking at it or whatever. And there's this arousal that usually has a very strong emotional state, because it's linked to the sympathetic nervous system, and trying to put a lot of obedience, like trying to tell their dog to do stuff when their dog is just in this state of pretty much, I always say their brain's out of their skull. Like they're just honestly no longer thinking. They're pretty much in like this flight or fight stage, you know, and there's so many other stress responses, right? Fidget, freeze, whatever it is. And they just can't think anymore. That's arousal. Like that is, their nervous system is just over threshold and they need help, learning how to calm down, essentially, and to be able to regulate, go up and down, because we need arousal. Every dog needs arousal to survive and to be able to play sports, but they need to be able to control that arousal. And it's very different than just having intent focus to achieve something, whatever that is. So yeah, it's something, it's honestly a first conversation I have with a lot of people is what's actually driving this behavior. Yeah.
Oh, you would love this client I have. He is the coolest little dog, a Sheltie. And if you know Shelties, they like to spin and bark and be excited. They tend to have a lot of arousal and some fear issues in the ones that I'm working with, and also drive. So it's really cool because this little guy, when he's doing a sport and his owner might not be as fast thinking as him, if he gets frustrated, he might bark at her and do the typical spinny thing, but quite often what he'll do is he'll remove himself from the situation and give himself a job to do. He lays in a tunnel and stares at her. So he is such a good dog.
That's
like,
cool.
He's like, this is frustrating. I don't want to be in this situation. So he removes himself and gives himself a job. And we're transferring that tunnel behavior into a bed so he can go to a bed.
Yeah.
And we're also helping her learn how to break it down for him so that he's not getting frustrated.
Right.
And not, because he's tons of drive. He wants to work. He just loves it. But if he gets frustrated, then that emotional state kind of takes over and he can't think through the problems.
Yeah. That's what a good dog. I love that his go-to is to go put himself in a tunnel. Because a lot of times, like clients I have, the job they go do is something much less desirable. Like, I get frustrated. I don't know what you want. So I'm going to turn away and target another dog or person and run at them and bark at them. I get that a lot. Reactive dogs in sports that have a lot of arousal, if they get frustrated and they don't know what they're doing, that's when they do disengage, and it's to go do something far less desirable.
So let's talk about some ways of how we can teach our dogs to lower arousal. What are some games you play to help those dogs?
I play a lot of games that bring up arousal and bring it back down. So we get excited and then we calm back down. And in order to do that, the first thing I do is make sure my dogs have skills that I can, that they understand, that brings their arousal up. So a lot of times I might use like toy play or maybe doing spins for food, just something that is a bit more activating for them. But I need to teach that skill first, and generally away from the environment that is very over arousing for them. So maybe I'm doing this at home, teaching them those skills, teaching them how to use toys appropriately, like take it when I want it, or let go when I ask. And then also calming down skills. So that might be learning how to fully eat a scatter of food, or how to lie down and hold it down. Can we play some spins for food and then ask my dog to lie down? And then I'll go back to spins for food. And just if the dog needs patterns, it'll be like, so if it's more prone to reactivity, I might just be going back and forth between calm, spins for food, calm, spins for food. If they are not as reactive, I might not necessarily be as patterned, so I might mix it up a little more, so the dog has to listen a bit more as to whether or not we're doing spins or get that toy or chase that disc. We'll mix it up a little more. But yeah, it's just, can we go excited to calm, excited to calm, pretty much.
And I do that for even for pet puppies. That's one of my main core skills that I want to teach. I call it red light, green light. Even baby puppies, especially if there's kids in the house, I want to know we can get excited and maybe chase a kid and then lie down. Chase a kid with a toy, I might add. And, you know, can, for any puppy, for any dog, can whatever excites that dog, it might be chasing cookies and then lie down or go to a bed. Or for some dogs, my border collies, a chin rest, calm behavior. It's still in drive. It's still exciting. I won't typically incorporate a settle to those, into those games, because I don't want them to go from an actual relax to an active game. I don't like releasing from trying to ask my dog to actually relax into an exciting game, because I think that's an easy way to break your relax cue. But I like to ask them to do something calm, still with their bodies. Even if they're still excited, can they still do something calm? So that's the drive. They can stay in drive, but I need their bodies and their voices to be quiet and still.
Right.
So I need to know that if the puppy is chasing a kid and maybe the kid drops a toy and now the pant leg is looking pretty exciting, I can say lie down or right. chin or whatever behavior that now the dog has a strong history of going from excited to those still behaviors and yeah. being able to think and hear me through that excitement, that arousal or the.
Yeah. It's a good way to put it. Pretty much a still behavior.
Mm-hmm. It might not be relaxed. Like my chin rest for my dogs, their pupils are dilated. Yeah. And especially Jubilee, her chin rest, like you better be prepared because you're getting 31 pounds of border collie pressing herself into your chin, into your yeah. hand with her chin.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is that dogs that struggle with really high arousal, sometimes we can't go directly to something like a chin rest. It really is why we need to train this stuff outside of the arousing situation first, and choose behaviors that are appropriate for our dogs. And a lot of times I'll train a new behavior because sometimes people may have been working on a chin rest, but built frustration into that chin rest. And I do know a couple of these dogs where we try and do chin rests and they do lose their marbles and they'll be doing a chin rest, but they're still in a high state of arousal because they are screaming while they are doing this chin rest. They can't think. So I like to train a new behavior that doesn't really have any emotions behind it yet and do that in a very low arousing scenario, usually at home first, so that the dog can focus well during doing it, because stillness does not always mean that they actually are thinking.
And that's a good point, knowing your dog. I would never use a chin rest behavior as that red light part of the chain for dogs like Riker or Max. You got to know your dogs and what's going to help them. And that's where there aren't any recipes for dog training. There's not. Otherwise, one person would have written a book and that person would be very, very rich and everyone could just read that book and away we go. But every dog, every team is different. And that's where knowing your dog is key to picking the right behaviors.
Yeah.
So Riker, my little guy, is jump into my arms or lie down. Right? Often a sit is pretty charged. It's a good one too for a lot of dogs, but for some dogs, it's not so great. So I think that's all we might maybe want to say about that. If you're struggling with your dog, let one of us know. We can give you a hand. And anything else you want to add about that, Erin?
Nope. I was thinking. I need to actually think for a second. But nope. That's pretty much everything. Yep.